Centennial Parliament, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, Guilty Pleasures. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies.net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for the Guilty Pleasure episode. Start with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Who's next?
We've got Carp.
I'm next.
And we've got Kev Botrek.
No, I'm next.
A guilty pleasure is something one enjoys and considers pleasurable despite feeling guilty for enjoying it. The guilt involved is sometimes simply fear of others discovering one's lowbrow or otherwise embarrassing tastes, such as campy styles of entertainment, fashion, video games, music, animated series, anime, television series, or in particular, especially this episode, films. Those can be examples of guilty pleasures, but we've got our top five guilty pleasures. We're going to start with Mr. Carp. And Carp, what's number five?
Me? Number five, Leprechaun in the Hood.
What?
Leprechaun in the Hood.
It's how is that? How is that even a movie?
Oh, it is a great movie. It was just after Leprechaun in Space. It was kind of like they went back.
Hold on. Let's backtrack here a second.
Yes.
So after the wildly success of Leprechaun in Space.
After Leprechaun 1, then 2, then 3, then in Space.
Okay, so he's done three fantastic iterations of Leprechaun. He came back from outer space, and now he's in the Hood, Carp.
Yes, he's in the Hood. It's got Ice-T in it, which was the beginning of his acting career. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, it makes more sense.
And Leprechaun, like how he usually rhymes his stuff, he actually has like a hip-hop flow when he's saying his limericks there before he kills a guy.
Okay.
Or whatever else. Yeah, basically Leprechaun ends up in the inner city Compton, California. More comedy than horror, fill this installment. Still Warwick Davis playing Leprechaun, which is awesome. You know, until Hornswoggle, which I very much doubt, tries to prove us wrong. This was entertaining. And, it's my number five guilty pleasure.
Well, that's definitely a great start. What's your number four, Carp?
My number four would be Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
I hope I'm not the only one. I've noticed online there's a lot of people who find this their guilty pleasure. I thought it was great when I saw it. I have it on DVD. Yeah, Kurt Russell, Kim Cattrall, James Hong. The three other Asian guys who were like Thunder, Rain, and Lightning were great. Egg Shen or Victor Wong. He's truly enjoyable. This is over the top. You know, if you don't enjoy this, then to me, there's something wrong with you. So,
Big Trouble in Little China. Is this Kurt Russell's only good movie?
Oh, that and The Escape from New York was really good.
Yeah.
Well, he was freaking awesome in Death Proof.
Yeah, but that's more of a supporting role. He's not the main.
Oh, no. Well, he's the main guy. He's the antagonist in it.
Okay.
Well, that's it to me.
What's your number three?
Number three would be Jason Takes Manhattan.
It so happens that we have a trailer for Jason Takes Manhattan. Let's play it and then get our thoughts.
Friday the 13th, Part 8. Jason Takes Manhattan. Now, New York has a new problem.
As if they didn't have enough problems, Carp.
Yeah, same old Friday the 13th storyline, except this time they're on a high school graduate's boat trip from near Camp Crystal Lake to New York City. All hell breaks loose on the boat. Some kids escape. Jason obviously has to hunt them down and kill them since they're dirty teenagers. This was probably had one of my most favorite kills in all the Jason series, which was the black kid's trying to like box Jason on the rooftop. Black kid gets all exhausted. And he's like, take your best shot, motherfucker. And he just decapitates the kid with one swing. So.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, boxers against anything against Jason, yeah. Pretty much. You got to be...
Yeah.
You got to be Freddy Krueger. You got to be Arnold or something.
Man. I don't even think Arnie could make it, man.
What about T2 against Jason?
T2, maybe. I mean, it is robot versus undead, zombified, retarded kid who drowned in the lake. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, I called it here. The next big 2015 movie is Terminator versus Jason.
You never know. You never know.
So, yeah, the good and the bad for Jason.
Well, to me, it's my guilty pleasure, so there's not much bad at all. I mean,
absolutely nothing wrong with this film.
Well, it's got its moments. There could have been a little more nudity, but then again, there can always be a little more nudity in a Friday the 13th flick. Obviously, the pro was Kane Hodder playing Jason, which he was the longest one and probably the better one. You know, it was enjoyable what it was. It was kind of a cheesy way that Jason got taken out by, for some reason, toxic waste floods the sewers of New York City at midnight. And Jason drowned in the toxic flood and became a little kid again. So the
and
ending
he became
was,
a toxic crusader.
Not quite, because he was already like super messed up and stuff. Okay. So he just melted even more than he already was.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty shit ending.
Yeah, it was probably one of the lesser endings of the series. But at the end, as always, I mean, spoiler alert: the movie came out in 89. So if I'm spoiling,
yeah, I think we're good. I think we're good.
But
yeah.
He shows up afterwards. Like, he just appears behind them. But there's one scene where, because this is 80s New York, which is supposed to be really dangerous times, and there's a bunch of punks sitting around. Jason kicks the radio. They're like, yo, what the fuck, man? We'll kill you. Just takes off his mask, and the kids are like, oh, shit, and they run away. Showing how a bunch of bitches they were. So, yeah, it's got its moments. I really enjoy it. So,
hey, man, you're entitled. You are entitled. What's your number?
One of the ones I watched the most.
Oh, really? Out of the five, it's the one you watched the most?
Out of the five. Dude, there's been 11 movies. 12 if you count.
No, I mean, okay, sorry, I misheard.
Oh, no, okay. Out of all the Friday the 13th, this is probably my most preferred one for campiness and all the other goodness. So.
All right, Carb, what's your number two?
Army of Darkness.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, I mean...
Yeah, if this isn't on your list of your top five guilty pleasures, then there's something wrong with you. It's
Bruce... Well, especially for you, I mean, this is your...
Oh, this is my...
This is Stomps, man. Yeah. This is,
yeah. Yeah, it's just Bruce Campbell in all his glory and goodness in the medieval ages. Like, everything from the, you have to say the words precisely, keep repeating them. And he goes, Klaatu, Barada, Yarara. There, I said the words. I can grab the book without worry now. Yeah, just overall goodness. And it's Bruce Campbell at his best.
Awesome. And the number one guilty pleasure for Carp is...
Broken Lizards... Beer Fest.
There is a sport where teams from around the world.
Looks like we got the Brits in round one.
Gather to compete.
We're gonna put the skitters in your Alan Wickers, you plonker.
Do you know what he's saying?
Beer Fest.
Let the games begin.
We've been training for a super secret international beer drinking competition, and we're taking on the Germans for national prize.
Yeah. Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices?
Competition.
If we're gonna drink like the Germans, we're gonna need a little help.
Where revenge.
They want a war? We'll give a war they won't believe.
Is best served ice cold.
I'm better when I'm drunk.
From the geniuses who brought you the phenomenon. Super Troopers.
Miss Hops. Miss Barley. Miss Yeast.
I think I'll stay away from that one.
Comes the motion picture event of the year.
It's the greatest beer in all the world.
I wish it were winter. We could make it into ice blocks and skate on it. And then melt it in the springtime and drink it.
See you in the next round, boys. We are going to spin. Thank you.
A movie that could only be called...
Beer Fest!
You guys don't want to be my teammates, do you?
Yeah!
You boys are a team. You must train for beer fest. Yeah! Here, eat, eat, eat.
When we sleep better, but I have a little sausage with me.
Oh! Ho, ho, ho! Gotta get you out of those wet clothes and into a dry martini.
What?
I said, how is it, martini?
Get away from me.
You like it rough?
I like that. I like that very much.
Sweet creamery butter.
Beer fest.
The resemblance to any persons, places, or events in this movie are purely coincidental and, frankly, quite sad. If you attempt anything you see in this film at home, you will die. No Germans were harmed during the making of this film. Please drink responsibly and treat all women with respect.
Definitely a fun movie. I've seen this a couple of times.
The best movie in all the world.
Yeah, it is the best movie, but the best beer drinking games that is, yeah?
It's stupid humor, oh, yeah, but it's fun. You know, the whole
great
whole thought of having this beer drinking competition and all these games. It just, you know, they really looked like they had fun making this movie.
The secret hidden recipe, the opening cameo that I didn't expect when I saw it because I didn't see too many trailers. Hell, it's got Cloris Leachman in it, and she's like one of the most well-known actresses of all time. Yeah, so your Broken Lizard guys, as per usual. Opening scene is Donald Sutherland dying in a hospital bed and chugging beers to his death. So when it opened like that, well, it actually opens with one of the Broken Lizards guys playing drinking games against MC Gainey, who's playing the priest. Great movie. You got to see it if you enjoy comedy at all. So
if you like seeing anything, if you like eyes, you will enjoy
it. If your eyeballs enjoy seeing things and your ears like hearing things, you should witness and take this movie into your soul. That's how awesome it is.
All right, thank you, Carp. Let's go next with Mr. Kev Botrek with his top five guilty pleasures. Kev, what is your number five?
We will go with Masters of the Universe.
Dolph Lundgren, He-Man.
At the far end of the universe, there is a planet ruled by a being of utter...
Like, you know it's not good when you can't even afford to pay Pat LaFontaine to do In a World during your movie. Sorry, anyways, just saying.
Evil. And there is only one man who dares challenge him. They are locked in a battle to the death. A battle that will take them across the heavens.
Stop him!
A battle that will finally be fought.
I want them hunted down and brought to me!
Across the face.
Police! Nobody move!
Of Earth.
I think I'm gonna need some backup.
Can you show us the way?
Of course. No!
From a distant galaxy, they have come to Earth. Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. Frank Langella as Skeletor. Only they have the powers to be. Masters of the Universe. Live the adventure.
Starring Courtney Cox, Dolph Lundgren, Billy Barty's in this. Pretty much the only good actor in this. Well, I guess if you're a fan of Lundgren, and most of us are. Absolute cheese. This looks like a hybrid of Ghostbusters and Star Wars in terms of effects. I'm sure the story is no better. So you get your pros and cons for He-Man, Masters of the Universe, Kev.
Well, first pro I'd have to say, and you know, you have to consider the time, was at the time the special effects were pretty good for a movie, I'd say. So, I mean, obviously now they're not going to hold up, but back then they were good. So you got to consider that. I mean, Lundgren as He-Man, what more do you need, really? I mean, he only has to say a few words here and there, and you're pretty much good.
I mean, this is one of the first cartoon movies, right? Like, adaptations?
That I can think of, yeah. It would make sense to do it just because of how popular it was at the time, but I guess the only other good point I'd say is just it was fun. It was completely ridiculous plot-wise, but I had fun watching it. And that's going to be a common theme throughout my movies because The only thing I would say bad about it, other than it's a bad movie, is like...
Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
Do you just understand what you just said?
Yes.
Okay.
But
continue.
It's just the human stuff they seem to add into every movie that, like, I would have liked to seen it all not take place on Earth, but I guess other than that, it's fun. It's the costumes are fun. The action scene. I mean, having Billy Barty in it is great. He's like the one legitimate thing about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have fun watching this movie, and I enjoy the cheese factor for what it is, you know, an 80s movie.
Did they put the original theme, like the cartoon theme, in this at all? Because if not, I think that's a mistake. Like, during the movie, did you hear the He-Man theme at all?
I can't remember, honestly.
Okay. It just seems like something you would have to use. Just like, you know, James Bond's got a recurring theme. They brought back Mission Impossible. They even had, like, a Michael Bublé crossover as Spider-Man. You know, it seems like that would be, like, RoboCop. That would be the thing that would be missing. I know it's something small, but I don't know, maybe I nitpick for that. Kev Bo-Trek, what's your number four?
I have a feeling you might have this on the list, but I am going to go with Kung Pao.
This is CNN. CNN.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Kung Pao is just 2 hours of ridiculousness.
And that's what makes it so good. Like, just the absurdity of, you know, him using a bow flex or... out of nowhere, him driving a convertible, things like that.
The best was the guy, the face to your fist style. My nuts to your fist style, therefore making me the victor.
Or another part I really liked was the smoke bomb.
Yeah, it went like
a... It's like, what's going on? It just like dissipates after a second.
Well, for those who haven't seen it, give us a quick plot explanation.
If I had to describe it, basically I would say it's kind of a satirical look at kung fu movies.
Yeah,
that would be how I describe it, like taking some of the cliches and just kind of having fun with them.
And your number three, Kev.
This is another tough choice. I was gonna combine them, but I'm gonna go with the original Street Fighter.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember we reviewed this during our Jean-Claude Van Damme retrospective, a $100 million movie. It's just so fucking cheesy and campy. Just, oh my God, like no plot at all. They just introduce characters to introduce them. It's like you get two new faces a minute. It just, I don't know. I can't believe you put this on your list.
What I like, and I think a lot of movies had trouble with this when they first like did the iterations, is they literally had to put every character exactly how they were in the video game. So it was fun to kind of see them go through hoops trying to put in all these characters. And like you said, there's like a zillion of them. But I mean, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme at his cheesy best.
As Guile.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. Well, I mean, it makes sense. But just like I remember he had his line, like, who wants to go home and who wants to go with me? Just like cheesy stuff like that. And, you know, just... And it's funny because, like, how stereotypical all the characters were.
It was super fucking stereotypical.
It's like the Asian sumo wrestler, the Russian, like, big brute, idiot brute. You know, just stuff like that. And I had fun. Like most of the movies on my list, I had fun watching them. And that's all. I mean, and you have, what's his name, Raul Julia playing an over-the-top...
Bison.
Bison, that's it. So just the campiness of an early 90s Jean-Claude Van Damme movie I really like.
Julie was the only saving grace for that movie.
He was, but it was still campy. Like, I found his performance still campy. Even though he was a great actor and he did a good job, I still thought it was campy. But within the context of the movie and everything else being more campy, you know, it worked.
Number two, Kev.
I am going to go... It seems to be a theme... I was going to put What About Bob, but it's actually a good movie, so I'm not going to put it.
Okay.
I am going to go with Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh, you fucking bastard. I mean, yeah. It's on my list, too. One of the best 90s dance, I guess, movie themes, or just movie themes in general. So cheesy, but yeah, just so addictive to listen to. I know this was on Gallifrey's like favorite movie themes of all time. You know, it's... Yes, the movie is super cheesy. You know, you don't get a lot of character depth in that. But what is Mortal Kombat? It's a tournament, right? So they made it funny. They made it witty for the best that they could. The action scenes were pretty good for the time, especially like Sub-Zero and Scorpion, although it's probably the same guy. I mean, some of the fight scenes were fucking good. So overall, man, yeah, definitely one of my greatest guilty pleasures on my end anyways.
Yeah, and like, I mean, again, they ported the characters in the movie exactly from the game, but I think it worked in this sense because, you know, it's more of a fantastical kind of thing. It's not real world, and the special effects were great. The fight scenes are great. Like you said, it's one big tournament. What kind of a plot do you need? So they had great...
That's it, yeah.
They had great special effects. They had great fight scenes. The second movie wasn't good, but the first one I actually thought... And maybe I'm fanboying a bit because, as some people know, Mortal Kombat 2 is my favorite video game of all time. But I thought it was a good movie. I mean, if you're looking for a deep plot, you're not going to get it. But if you're going to sit through a movie that'll keep you entertained, you know, just seeing Scorpions get over here and stuff like that, Sub-Zero with the ice and Raiden with all his fun electrical powers and that, it's a great movie to watch. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen the new Mortal Kombat kind of thing on the internet.
There's Mortal Kombat 10 trailer for the game coming out, since it'll be the 10th game. But why'd Sub-Zero go out like such a little bitch in it?
Well, you know, you gotta...
I'm gonna make my snowball around me. Oh no, water defeated me.
Yeah, it's the first ever movie character to job to water.
Yeah, he from jobbed what I to water pretty well. I don't know, maybe the two people in open water job to water, but...
Yeah, or Water World.
Or water, yeah, a lot of people jobbed in Water World.
Kevin, you remember when we saw this in the theater?
Yeah, we were originally going to go see the 1 o'clock show, but there was too many people.
Sold out.
Yeah, so we went to see.
So we hung around the arcade, and then we snuck in a bunch of candy. And we had like Coke cans and candy, or fucking pockets in our shorts are down to our ankles, and fucking sneaking in a bunch of crap. That was fun, man. It was a fun movie.
It was, and the special effects, again, at the time were great.
Number one, Kev.
It's going to have to be Starship Troopers.
In every age.
You see, they paid for LaFontaine, just saying.
There is a cause worth fighting for. But in the future, the greatest threat to our survival will not be man at all.
What's going on? It's war! We're going to war!
Now the youth of tomorrow must travel across the stars to defend our world.
We are a generation commanded by fate to defend humankind.
Everyone fights, no one quits.
We are going in with first wave. You smash the entire area. You kill anything that has more than two legs. You get me?
We get you, sir!
But they will face an enemy more devastating than any ever imagined.
Here they come!
Incoming!
Mayday, mayday, this is Roughneck 2-0.
We're under attack, sir. We need retrieval now.
Someone made a damn mistake.
The bugs laid a trap for us, didn't they?
Prepare for battle and journey to the front lines of the next frontier.
Kill them all!
Starship Troopers.
Denise Richards in this, right, Kev?
Yeah, I think it was the first thing I remember in, and she was scorching in it.
She was hot. I remember her being really hot in this.
Yeah, I think it was the first time like anyone got a real look at her, and it was like, wow. And of course, she made Wild Things after, which is even better.
Yeah, true. You know, cheesy movie, of course, but late 90s fun. This movie is definitely in need of a giant can of Raid, from what I'm saying. A lot of fucking bugs. Well, yeah, let's get your pros and cons.
Well, I was almost hesitating putting this movie on just because it was so wink-wink. Like, it was in on a joke, basically. And so part of me didn't want to put it on because that's what they were going for. But there was just so many elements I loved. I loved the promo, like the over-the-top promos to get people fighting the war.
Yeah.
I love, like, just the characters were, like, like over the top with their cheesy lines and stuff like that. Because it has a good story that they had fun with, but at the same time, it was pretty bloody and graphic. Like, I remember one scene, you're seeing, like, guys' heads get shot off and things like that. You're seeing them be impaled by the bugs, stuff like that. And it's a fun movie. And like I said, I wasn't sure if I was going to put it on just because of the wink-wink. And it's a common theme in the movies that I picked. I had fun watching it, and when I go back to it, I still have fun watching it just because how purposely over the top it is. So I guess I can't really say anything negative about it because I think in a way the negatives were almost purple. Like they were almost put in just to have that wink wink. So that would be my my guilty pleasure movie just because of the fun I had with it. And it had hot Denise Richards, so does that.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much, Kebbo Trek. Let's throw this to me. We'll go with Heavyset. We'll go with Heavyset first. Heavyset, top five guilty pleasures.
All right, I got to go with the only one that I have that's a full franchise because I love it, and not everybody else loves it, but the Saw franchise.
Someone there? I can hear you. Who is that? Who's in there?
Technically speaking, he's not really a murderer. He never killed anyone.
Dr. Gordon, your aim in this game is to kill Adam. If you do not, then Diana will die.
He finds ways for his victims to kill themselves.
I'm sick of people who don't appreciate their blessings. I've given you a life purpose.
Looks like our friend Jigsaw likes to book himself front row seats to his own sick games.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet.
Most people are so ungrateful to be alive. Not anymore.
You are a drug addict. Do you think that is why he picked you?
He helped me.
Don't believe Adam's lies.
You know, throwing a new edge kind of on this killer thriller, very smart kind of movie and pretty much unseen before this franchise started. Extremely popular to start off as well. Saw did really well in the box office. I remember seeing this and the fact that the guy had to cut through his leg to get out. I mean, that's just fucked up, man. You know what I mean? But fucked up, but good at the same time. You know, not on my list of favorites, but I mean, just in terms of creativity and uniqueness, definitely a trendsetter. Heavyset, your thoughts?
I've said it before. I went back and listened to some old episodes where I happened to talk about the Saw franchise, and it's everything that I've ever said about it. It will always ring clear for me. I love the riddles that were a part of it, and that's what drew me in. It wasn't the gore, wasn't the horror aspect of it, but I think that's some of the downfalls of it is because it was so gory. And the fact that they were coming out once a year, and I don't think they were really expensive to make, it seemed to be a cash grab. And that's why I think a lot of people would just be like, oh, man, you know, another Saw movie. Oh, my God, they're doing blah, blah, blah. But if you really paid attention, there was storylines that went on from the beginning to the end. And I think they were supposed to they wanted to finish at 8, but I think the sales were declining from it and the box office numbers were declining. So they were like, all right, 7 is it. So they tried to wrap it up real quick. But I think when they first came up with the idea of the movie, they had the route that they wanted to go, and they always kept true to it. It just people didn't see it. And the fact that it was coming out once a year made it seem like a cash grab. But I believe from the beginning there was a plan, and like I said, they stuck to it. And if you watch the ending, I think the endings of all the movies are some of my favorite parts, because it's those riddles being solved, and they never get it right, whoever's in the middle of the riddle. So you're trying to figure out if they're doing right or wrong. And that's just what I love about it. It's the end when the music plays and it's getting revealed, everything. It's always just either, oh my God, I didn't see that coming, or yes, oh my God, that was so awesome. If you really love the franchise like I did.
Number four, heavy set.
I'm going to have to go with a classic from another episode, and I know it's on your list too. We got to talk about Jingle All the Way.
Put that cookie down. Heavy set, Jingle All the Way, go.
I think as a Christmas movie, if you compare it to all the classics, it doesn't hold up because of how different it is, but it's that differentness that makes it good. I mean, I'm not a huge fan like Arnold, like most of you are. And I felt like this was just completely kind of out of his norm, him being this all-American dad, kind of, you know, working all the time, you know, providing for his family, being very successful. It just really doesn't make a lot of sense when you really look back at it. But
movies make sense.
Well, but what I'm getting at, it's just everything that they put in there, the people they put in there, it works. And that's one thing, like, I love about it. And there was a long conversation on this, on the Christmas episode, very long, of what we thought about it and everything. And I think of the most non-traditional Christmas movies, this is by far the best. Like I said, I know people hate it, but like everybody else on this show besides me and you, but it's hilarious.
It is funny. It's just kind of blasting consumerism. You got Sinbad trying to kill him take his shit every 2 seconds. It is ridiculous, and it just Arnold, the entire storyline's crazy, but it's super fun. I mean, apart from the really cheesiness with the rocket and that, but the rest of it, it's just really entertaining, man. You see an animated Arnold, you know, you go from T2 to this, and it looked like you had a lot of fun shooting the movie too. It's just fun.
Agree.
Let's get your number three, Heavy.
Number three is back-to-back sequels. So number two is also a sequel, and they always say, you know, a sequel is never as good as the original, but these are two, in my opinion, that are, and I'm going to start off with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
New York, a city where 8 million can scarf down their slices in safety, knowing that when pizza is close by, help is never far away.
Any luck finding a new place to live yet?
Well, you know, in this market, it's actually very difficult to find good subterranean housing.
You'd think even an idiot could find a place down here.
But no!
Wow!
And I thought all the really good dungeons were in Europe.
The past returns, my son.
Hey, guys, look! That's the canister that had the ooze.
That transformed us all.
Yes. Well, you're the last one, aren't you?
Uh-oh.
Oh, some animals are knocking down the telephone pole.
Let them get their own cab.
The next fight will be freak against freak.
Take the ugly one.
No, you take the ugly one.
Or which one's the ugly one?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Cowabunga!
The Secret of the Ooze.
Don't forget, we're turtles!
building off the success of the first one, I mean, I can't say it's my favorite of the three. For me, it's the first one. You got new April O'Neil. You got Kevin Nash as Super Shredder. You got Vanilla Ice as Vanilla Ice. You know, it definitely went down, for me, the same formula as the first one, but watchable, and I enjoyed it. I remember watching two of the three Turtle movies for the first time in 20 years a couple of months ago, and had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, let's not talk about that third one. Let's focus on the second one, Heavy. Pros and cons.
The reason why I like this better than the first one was the darker version for, like, the cartoon and everything, and it has more of the edge that the Ninja Turtles do in the comic books, but it still keeps a little bit of the cartooniness, but I feel like it's more dark. Now, this is the flip side of where they go a little more cartoony. And that's, like, growing up, that's one of the reasons why I like. And also, did you notice I did back-to-back picks, not even doing this on purpose, of cameos with wrestlers?
Yeah.
Big Show. Absolutely. Big Show and Jingle All the Way.
Oh, yeah.
And now
yeah,
Kevin Nash.
Santa.
This was just a total late 80s, early 90s movie. I mean, I think it came out early 90s. But it's just still fits. For someone who grew up on the Turtles, also being a wrestling fan, too, I remember when I found out that Kevin Nash was in the movie, or Diesel at the time, I knew him as. It made me just watch it more and more and more. And it's campy for certain parts of, like, how cartoony it is at times. But I think that's made it what it was.
And our number two, Heavy.
I don't know if this is considered more of a guilty pleasure, but I think a lot of people like this director, so they're going to look down on a lot of his work, but it's by far my favorite work that he's done, and that is Clerks 2.
Clerks 2, Kevin Smith. I mean, definitely a cult, I guess, would be top five cult movies. Guilty pleasure, you know, Kevin Smith does have a very, not a huge, but he does have a decent audience, a very loyal audience, and you know, it's funny because I remember seeing Clerks 2 before the first one with Andre, actually. And this is before I really got into Kevin Smith and became a fan. I became a fan by listening to more of his podcasts and getting into kind of the background stuff. And then I landed up watching some movies later on. And now I'm more of a bigger fan because I know more about him and stuff. Like Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back and Jersey Girl, yeah. But Dogma. The first Clerks is definitely classic, black and white, definitely how Kevin Smith got his name. So yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. This would be on my list as well. I didn't even consider Clerks or Clerks 2. Let's get your pros and cons on it.
The thing that I love about it is, and I love about Kevin Smith's work in general, but I think this just highlights it. And it took what was so successful and fun about the first one and just updated it. It's the whole thing of, like, the whole movie is just nothing but bits. Like, they go from this bit about pillow pants and this bit about interspecies erotica. And, like, there's just and things in the Lord of the Rings Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, they go from bit to bit to bit. And then there's, like, two storylines that go through the whole thing. But I think it's those bits that make it funny. I mean, I don't have a lot of cons for this one. I just think there's a lot of people who just don't like Kevin Smith. When I was making my list up, it was movies that just either weren't successful in the box office, weren't success by critics, which I don't think this was a very big success by critics. If you don't like him, you don't like him.
It's true. I think you're right about the bits on the movies. You know, he's very dialogue heavy and they break the fourth wall a lot. So he's got kind of that smart audience. So, you know, for laymans and stuff, they're probably going to look and be like, the fuck is this? But for fans of movies and just people who like kind of like that fourth wall being broken and very dialogue heavy, that's his fans. And that's why he has such an intelligent audience that listens to him and goes to his shows. Very passionate audience. So, I'm definitely a fan of the filmmaker. Heavy set, your number one.
My number one is one of my favorite movies just growing up. It actually came out on my 9th birthday. It's starring one of my favorite comedic actors, Tommy Boy.
Yeah, you're a huge Chris Farley fan from what I remember. It's, you know, for me, it just seems like every Chris Farley movie is I'm living in a van down by the river, just overacting, ridiculousness, just a lot of physical comedy, of course. You got David Spade usually in most of those movies. And it's insane. But, you know, it really shows how Farley kind of lived to the extreme for the majority of his life, abusing alcohol, whatever, abusing everything pretty much. But definitely funny. He had his own brand of humor for sure. But those movies did work heavy.
It's very ironic that we do this episode because last weekend I read the book, The Chris Farley Show, his autobiography. Okay, when I say I read the book, I just listen to the audiobook because I spend most of my day driving. And if I don't want to listen to a podcast or music, I get almost an audiobook. And I've owned the book for a very long time. I'm just not a big reader. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm a part of Audible, that subscription service.
Yeah.
I was like, well, they have it. I'm going to sit down and listen to it. And it really opened a lot to things that I didn't really know about Chris Farley and things that you said. And just going back to the kind of person he was, like, he seemed to be actually a really great person. Tommy Boy is his best work because that was like a really good time for Chris in that time period. Black Sheep sucked because that was Paramount signing him to a 2-movie deal and they wanted to capitalize, and that's why Black Sheep sucked.
Yeah.
The rest sucked for their own reasons, but there was movies that he wanted to do, movies that he was supposed to do. He was before he died, he was trying to do a movie on silent film star Fatty Arbuckle, who had a very, very similar life to Chris, and he wanted to show that. He was the original choice for Shrek, and supposedly his Shrek and Mike Myers' Shrek were two totally different movies, two totally different characters.
Oh, wow.
And there was a lot more. It's just he died so early. But going back to Tommy Boy, like I said, like, this is one of my just favorite movies, and I can quote the shit out of this movie, and it's a fun movie. And one thing that I learned about how they made the movie is they made this movie almost on a whim. It was them trying to make Chris Farley a star, but not putting him in an SNL movie, even though it was an actual SNL movie, but they didn't want to put him like as a character, not like Coneheads, not like Wayne's World, which oddly enough,
right,
he's in those movies. But there was like bits in the movie that, for example, there's a part, I think, when they get, before they get married, before Chris Farley's dad gets married,
okay,
as well as character's dad. And he's like, they say, you know, hey, how do we look? And he goes, chubby. It was dialogue like that that actually the writers who were working on it heard David Spade and Chris Farley, like, conversations they were having. And they went, okay, we're going to take that real life dialogue you just had and put it in a movie. And that, I think that was part of the charm, because it wasn't forced. If I'm going to put any negatives on the movie, I think I really can't. Oh, it's hard for me because I hold this one really close. It's kind of a standalone hit. They never needed to make a sequel. It was serious. It's a movie that could have won awards, but it didn't. I think the only movie award it won was like an MTV movie award, which those aren't shit.
Yeah, no, definitely fun movie. It leave your brain at the door, but, you know, for sure. D-Ren has joined us on the call. Let's get your top five guilty pleasures.
Okay, my number five is the Michael Dudikoff blockbuster that is known as American Ninja.
For 2,000 years, the sacred art of the ninja has been guarded in the East.
Remember the day I found you.
Now, it has come to the West.
Remember what is hidden deep in your mind.
He is the only soldier.
Date of birth unknown.
The only American.
Who is he?
Who is capable of defeating the secret Black Star Army. The mission to hijack a U.S. military arsenal.
Your destiny, my son, awaits you.
The adventure. The confrontation. The code.
I will honor the code, Father.
The invasion. Final hour. The deadliest art of the Orient is now in the hands of an American. American Warrior.
Okay, apparently he's American Warrior in this game.
They changed the title after, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get your thoughts on American Warrior.
Oh, this is just a total cheese fest, and they made, I think, four sequels to this. So
really?
Yes, I think they're all direct DVD, And I think Dudikoff starred in either two or three of them. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's just a total cheese fest. Michael Dudikoff, you saw his acting. I will honor you, my father.
Yeah, yeah, he's not part of the Incoherables, one of the three there, the Arnold, and just doesn't seem to be as polished.
No, exactly. And they had his sidekick was this like black ripoff of Rambo, muscular okay. black guy. But, you know, it's just super campy. It's funny that the army is getting beat by ninjas who are using, like, swords and ninja stars. And they have, like, machine guns and they're not...
Tanks
like,
and shit.
And they get wiped out. Like, the convoy gets wiped out. It's pretty funny. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, you can't take a lot of this seriously. You have the cliche, Asian father figure, mentor and trainer.
Okay, does he do the splits like 500 times?
I don't remember if he did the splits, but I know the villain, the head ninja, he had like not just his ninja weapons, I think he had a flamethrower machine gun like in his like okay. suit, and he also had a laser for some reason.
Freaking lasers.
He's shooting laser at Michael
Dudikoff.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I know I'm not talking about the sequel, but in the sequel, there's a funny line where the base commander, I think they're in an island country, they ask the Dudikoff and the black guy, what's going on, what's happening to like whatever, and he's like in all serious tone, have you ever heard of ninjutsu, sir? So it's a lot of it's just super campy. It's yeah. Martial arts are they're pretty average, but it's just something from my childhood that I remember and that I loved. And it's not a great movie.
That's actually my favorite movie line of all time, by the way.
Ninjutsu, sir?
You'd have to see it in the context of the movie, but I was dying when I was watching it.
Have you ever heard of ninjutsu, sir? All serious tone, but anyway, again, you have to see that scene too. So yeah, that's my number five.
Number four.
My number four is going to be... I'm actually cheating a little. It's kind of a duet. It's the Kevin Costner sci-fi apocalyptic thrillers Waterworld and The Postman.
Really?
Yep.
The Postman I actually like, but Waterworld is in your top four, your top five.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable movie. They had the expensive sets they constructed on like water. Which I don't even know. I think this movie was budgeted at $200 million back then. I'm not sure.
It cost like $1 trillion and made nothing.
Actually, it made actually recoup more than Postman. I think the Postman only recouped $17 million from an $80 million
Postman
budget.
Postman was fucking 3 hours too long.
But, you know, there's just – I know he gets blasted for these movies, but they're just to me they're a lot of fun. I mean, first of all, Waterworld, like he's a merman, he has like gills and everything, and but yeah, I like the whole concept of both of these movies. Looks like it was scarce resources. I mean, Postman was after the nuclear, like a nuclear holocaust type thing, and you know he's trying to rekindle the Pony Express type thing. It was very patriotic too.
Yeah, he only did it because he was a criminal. Like,
what?
One of the bad guys, man. He left like the super bad guy organization, fell asleep in something with a dead postman, and everybody's like, are you the postman? Are you delivering letters of hope everywhere?
I love how he restored civilization.
Yeah, he's a fucking mail carrier.
No, he wasn't even a mail carrier. He was a piece of shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think he was a circus performer or something like that, or a con artist.
He was a terrible human being who was part of like the antagonist's big army originally.
Dude, why are you getting like emotionally compromised because of Kevin Costner's Postman?
He's a scum of the earth, and Kev... Yo. I love Scum of the Earth for some reason.
I can't believe... No, but no. I was a little surprised about your...
This is like
your like absolute hatred for Kevin Costner's Postman.
It was so bad.
Oh, I've never seen you react about any character
in
any film as much as the Postman.
I went to the premiere when I was younger, and I was just like, I want money.
Did he like touch you inappropriately as a child or something?
Just like CM Punk touched you, and why you're so angry at CM Punk.
Yes.
It's a great movie. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I mean.
Terrible.
I don't know what the fuck Carp's going on about.
And there's a character called, I think, like Ford Lincoln or Ford Abraham Lincoln. Like, come on. How cheesy is that? But I don't know. I mean, these movies are just a lot of fun. And
A lot of movie as well.
Did you not see on The Simpsons when it's like Lisa's like, oh, audio track for The Postman. Let's listen to it. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know why you're wasting your time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
D-Ren, number three.
Number three, I'm going to go with Red Dawn, the original.
The original, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the remake was a disaster, but this is just, I mean, first of all, just the opening scene of, like, Russian paratroopers, like, falling from the sky into, like, a rural communities was pretty funny. And I think that's, like, super campy. But, you know, just a, you know, you had Patrick Swayze, Jennifer Grey, C. Thomas Howell when they were, like, popular as, I guess, teenagers or young adults being melodramatic while, like, shooting bullets at the Russians. And they have no training and they're just, like, wiping out, like, whole platoons and everything. So just, like, the whole thing about Russians and getting, like, destroyed by these, I think it was five or six teenagers was, you know, pretty absurd. But
very risque at the time, and it was the concept of it.
Well, for sure, because this was at the height of the Cold War. Well, not kind of toward the end of the Cold War, like in 1980. So that's where we had, like, Russia as the playing a lot of the villains. And just to see them, like, take over, like, America is, like, pretty controversial because, you know, it's always about how America's going to win. And, you know, you see, like, in... just America comes out at the end and, like, even in, like, Olympus Has Fallen, like, you know, like, the terrorists lose. But in this one, I think I'm just trying to remember the ending. If I think two of them get to, like, a free zone, but, I mean, it's still occupied, so I kind of like that ending.
Yeah, definitely risque ending, especially very pro-America at that time, too, so... I'm not sure how well it did, but I'm sure it suffered because of it. But it's ballsy, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it did pretty decent. I mean, they did make a reboot, so well, that was awful. But
anyway. Well, they made a reboot of a couple of movies. Anyway, so let's get your number two.
My number two is the one that shames me to admit the most, but it's going to be The Cutting Edge.
It's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're just about 4 hours late here, Rita.
Rita?
What?
No, I said toe pick. No, it's just a line from the movie. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Anita.
Gita. Gita.
Close.
Olympic star Doug Dorsey's the best hockey player in America, and he's about to retire. Kate Mosley was America's sweetheart.
Until Hercules here learns how to lock his grip, this will have to do.
And she's got a nickname that rhymes with rich.
What a thing.
For both of them, the Olympics had become a faraway dream.
Here, you try.
Until someone...
Those are figure skates, pal.
...set up the ultimate blind date.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm a guy who came a long way for lunch.
Please don't let me keep you from the trough.
Enough!
The king of the rink and America's ice queen just became a team.
Don't quit your day job.
Would you please put me down? You treat me!
Guess that move needs some work.
You've been doing what?
I've been doing a little figure skating.
Finger painting?
As a matter of fact, I do have a boyfriend.
What do you do, keep him chained up in the basement?
I don't like to see her upset.
If I was you, I'd invest in blindfolds.
Are they going to get it before they kill each other?
You look really nervous. How nervous are you?
Dorsey and Mosley, the American Olympic team's best shot at the gold.
You're falling for him.
Oh, that's crazy. In case you've missed it, I am throwing myself at you. Get out of my way.
No problem. I've been practicing that move for a year and a half.
D.B. Sweeney.
Man, would I love to see you play hockey.
Moira Kelly.
Any day.
The Cutting Edge.
It's not like his nose was perfect.
Elizabeth Pius, D-Ren, I know you like to go for the campy, cheesy rom-coms, but The Cutting Edge, really, really?
Well, it was kind of blending like the sports movie and the, I guess, it was romance type thing. So
yeah, they got okay chemistry, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, in the first movie, yeah, the chemistry was pretty insane. I know the dialogue
in the
was
first movie. There's been more than one Cutting Edge.
Yeah, the sequels all were on ABC
sequels.
Family.
Sequels! Multiple!
I haven't seen the fourth one yet, but...
The fourth one!
Actually, funny
what
enough...
What happens in the fourth one? Does she get taken? Does he get taken?
Well, you see, the first movie came out, I think it was 1980s. And the sequel was only, like, I think around 2003, so it was on ABC Family type thing. And Yeah. And actually, the fourth movie, which I haven't seen, I know Stephen Amell from Arrow's in it as the kind of, like, the villain figure skater. So, but anyway. Yeah, but this movie
is... Wait, hold on. Did you say villain figure skater?
Figure skater, yes, in the same sentence.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, like...
Yeah. I don't know what's...
Carb just had a brain gas.
Brain hurt. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just this movie. They had, like, besides its cheesy dialogue, they had, like, really...
Well, besides its cheesy everything, dude.
Well, actually, the funny thing about this movie is because they don't have the actors. They, you know, they do some skating, but they don't do all the jumps and everything. So what they do is they put the arena in darkness with spotlights on to kind of cover up that it's, like, stunt doubles. So that was pretty funny. But, you know, it's just them trying to get to the Olympics and winning the Olympics and stuff like that. And it did spawn three sequels on ABC Family. So
Hey, ABC Family, massive draw.
You know, it's one of those movies where, you know, like, oh, just a guy from another sport coming into the movie without any training. Yes, we can win the Olympics. Kind of like Side Out in the volleyball, the beach volleyball movie where the guy has no experience and then, like, he's playing on the tour.
Or Every Karate Kid.
Or Karate Kid.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Hold on. There's got to be more. Well, there's that dance movie with Chet Tatum.
That's I think he was a dancer in the movie. He was like a...
No, he was a fucking... Wasn't he a fucking...
He was a janitor.
Like, garbage guy? Or yeah, it was...
I thought he was a break dancer, though, or something like that, but...
Well, still, I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot of these movies
where... Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Or like what's some sort of baseball movie like Bad News Bears?
Major League.
Major League. I should have put that on the list.
Well, no, Major League's a Major bunch League. Of washed up.
It's a great movie.
Major League's an awesome movie, not a
yeah. It's not a bad movie. That's right.
Everybody enjoys it.
Major League is an awesome movie that is the sad highlight of Cleveland sports.
That's fantastic. All right, D-Ren, number one.
I, too, was surprised that it would be on the list because I thought no one would pick it, but it's Starship Troopers, for sure. Whenever I see this movie on TV, I might not get through all of it. I'll watch bits and pieces of it, but I'm always like, every time I see it on TV, I'm tuning in, whether it's for the whole movie or for like an hour or something like that, even if it's in the middle of the movie. I just love this movie. It's a B movie with A special effects, A type special effects. You have Neil Patrick Harris in it as a kind of a smaller role. And, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I love the, like Kev Botrek said, the over-the-top PSAs to try to draft people to the army. The guy's head getting blown off during a training exercise.
Yeah, pretty graphic for the time anyways.
Yeah, it's just a lot of blood. And the co-ed shower scene was pretty funny. You know, it's one of those sci-fi movies that – it doesn't have the super solid story, but it's just the effects are there, and it's just perfect fun to watch whenever it's on. So yeah, it's my top movie.
All right, so we'll breeze through my top five. I've got one double. I'm gonna play the. I'm not gonna tell you guys what it is. I'm gonna see if you guys can figure it out. My number five is Put That Cookie Down, Jingle All the Way. We discussed it obviously in the show already, and in the Christmas special, you know, Arnold just brings it with his over-the-top acting, the ridiculousness. I love the fact that they really shit on the corporatism and how it's all about just getting objects and, you know, fuck the family. And the kid was such an asshole in this movie. Just there's everything about it. It was very kind of the anti-Christmas movie. That's why I really enjoyed it. This is my number four. Blurt it out when you guys figure it out.
Hidden beneath the world we know is the world they inhabit.
Dave?
Yeah, Mom?
What are you doing?
I'm taking over a TV network.
UHF, honey. UHF!
UHF! Oh, nope. I said it, but I had it on mute. UHF.
No, it's not UHF.
Oh.
They're hackers.
Hackers?
Well,
there you go.
Is penetrate and ravage private and publicly owned computer systems.
Hack the planet!
It's not just something they do.
Sure, this sweet machine's not going to waste.
Are you challenging me?
It
decides who they are.
I win, you wear a dress on our date.
And if I win, so do you.
They can crack any code. And get inside any system.
Hello?
Mr. Gill, according to our records, you're dead.
I'm what?
But this time...
Come here, look at this.
It's some kind of virus.
Unless $5 million is transferred to the following account, I will capsize 5 oil tankers. They just hacked the wrong guy.
Game's over.
Whoever wrote this needs somebody to take the fall.
He's about to commit the perfect computer crime.
You've created a virus that's gonna cause a worldwide disaster?
And they're about to take the blame.
A hacker planted the virus.
But it's the perfect cover.
Don't move!
We're being framed.
Can we be allies? I don't play well with others.
Ooh, wow, we are fried.
Okay, let's nail it.
No.
You're not good enough to beat me.
Yeah, maybe I'm not.
But we are.
They're the only ones who can prevent a catastrophe.
I know how to stop this guy.
They'll trace you like that.
Are you nuts? Come at me!
Unlike any the world has ever seen.
Never send a boy to do a woman's job.
Hackers, Angelina Jolie, Matthew Lillard, Mark Anthony is in this. Who's the guy who plays Sherlock, the American version? I'm trying to remember his name. Is it Matthew Lillard? Or no, Matthew Lillard's
Johnny
the
something,
one
Johnny something.
Yeah, yeah. So he's starring in
Hackers.
It. This is the only movie that I like Jolie in, by the way. She's pretty hot in this movie. I've seen this movie 21 times. This was in a span, I probably saw 10 of those in a span where I was living in my parents' basement and did not have cable TV at the time. This was like 90s, early 2000s. So I think I'd seen it maybe 10 times in 1 month at one point. I just absolutely loved it. You, it's zero cool, man. You crashed 1,601 systems. Blah, blah, blah. The 14.4 modem, 28.8 baud, man. This is pre-internet, so just the ridiculousness of, you know, two clicks on a keyboard and you're hacking, like, class attendances and light like, all the outside street lights, and you're hacking, like, Gibson Research Corporation by using a public telephone and an old laptop, so... You know, they very much simplified the whole culture, but I love the fact that they brought it to the big screen. Not a huge moneymaker, but definitely one of my favorites. This is my number 4.
Beyond the darkness, beyond the human evolution, is Khan, a genetically superior tyrant. Exiled to a barren planet, banished by a starship commander he is destined to destroy. Left for dead, he has survived.
I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round Perdition's flames before I give him up. There she is!
Against their shields.
The base is starboard.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me. Marooned for all eternity. Buried alive.
Sean! Sean!
At the end of the universe lies the beginning of vengeance.
Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. The greatest, in my opinion, back and forth, hero versus villain is William Shatner versus Ricardo Montalban. He is one of my most favorite villains in any movie ever. And this was actually my favorite movie of all time before the Dark Knight trilogy. So, and the Dark Knight, two of the three beat over Star Trek II, but it was one of my favorite movies for so long. And I don't know if technically it's considered a guilty pleasure, but, you know, maybe people crap on it because of the cheesiness. But, I mean, they tease so many things, and you got, like, Spock's death in it. It just – it's iconic for the Star Trek franchise, in my opinion, and by far the best movie out of all of them, including the new ones as well. My number four baseball movie slash chick flick a bit. This is called For the Love of the Game. This is another Kevin Costner movie where he plays Billy Chappell, a 40-something pitcher, playing in his last game and, ironically enough, gets a perfect game. And I remember watching this movie on TV a couple of times, and it draws me in because I'm still a huge baseball fan. And I always forget about kind of that love story that he has in the movie, which encompasses the majority of it and ends up annoying me near the end, actually. But I always forget about that, and I just remember, oh, yeah, baseball movie, perfect game. And then they start teasing the chick flick stuff a bit, and then it just goes too much into it, but still one of my favorite guilty pleasures. And I always have the short-term memory of forgetting that it's a chick flick movie. So I'm like, no, it's more about baseball. It's more about baseball. And the number one guilty pleasure, and it's not what you think, because I know you guys are going to say
Fever Pitch.
Yeah, it's not Fever Pitch.
Is it No Holds Barred?
Yes, it's No Holds Barred. That's a good guess, actually. That's an awesome guess. Mortal Kombat does get an honorable mention, but already mentioned. No Holds Barred was also mentioned on the WrestleMania retrospective. Hulk Hogan acting. Hulk Hogan and acting usually in the same sentence doesn't happen, so... You know, I smell dookie, you know, just completely over the top, but love the fact that they remastered this movie and actually made a bit of money doing it as well. No Holds Barred, my number one guilty movie pleasure. All right, we have come to the end of the show, so we will get some quick plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with Heavyset.
www.kfabesports.com. The end.
D-Ren, final thoughts and plugs.
Well, my number one guilty pleasure is Carp's mom. But
oh, jeez.
And I guess I'm going to plug my brother-in-law's comic called The Chieftains, which recently had the Kickstarter. It was successful. So.
It worked out.
It worked out the second. Yeah, so it worked out. And he'll be at Montreal and Toronto Comic-Con with a little table or booth or something like that. So check it out and... you know, maybe buy it if you're interested.
Go meet the creator of The Chieftains. Kebbo Trek, final thoughts?
Nope.
All right. Carp, plugs, final thoughts. StableWars.com.
StableWars.com. Always looking for new members.
Always looking for new members.
Still looking for new members. Still looking to get break the membership.
You know, play
and
all that stuff.
How did I do, by the way?
I think you were middle of the pack, like the rest of us.
I think Cock Talk, which is my kind of joke thing where I do all the opposite picks, I actually beat my other guy again.
That happened at Payback. I think that happened in Extreme Rules. But as always, StableWars.com or catch me on Twitter, KillerCarpDM.
Awesome. So for Carp, Heavyset, D-Ren, Kevbo Trek, this is old school, saying enjoy your guilty pleasures, do not be afraid of them, and embrace them. Have a good night, folks.
What's up? It is Heavyset, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God, what's going to happen?
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.